www.ccc.org.
And the previous program was the WBAI Evening News, heard daily at 6 p.m. Stay tuned for Extinction Rebellion Radio coming up at 6:30 p.m.
This is Extinction Rebellion Radio on Pacifica Radio Network, brought to you through WBAI New York. Extinction Rebellion Radio is hosted by Matthew Kearney and Ailey Slay.
Welcome to the Rebellion.
Extinction Rebellion is an international movement that uses nonviolent direct action to press for action on the climate emergency. You know, the Supreme Court has dropped a few bombs lately. And the one most relevant to climate change is that now government agencies can't regulate emissions. Government agencies, in effect, can't regulate emissions. And that's the world we're in now in the summer of 2022. Good God.
Good God.
You know, in a nutshell, what happened was Congress made the Clean Air Act back in 1970 under Nixon. And they worded it pretty broadly so that government agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency or EPA can make the specific regulations. Acts of Congress don't cover every last detail. What they do is they set out regulatory principles and then the executive agencies put them into practice. You know, the courts usually defer to the executive agencies, and Congress can always step in and pass another law if it decides the government agencies are going too far or aren't going far enough. And so for the last century, that's how our government has operated, right? Well, with what the Supreme Court did at the end of June was pretty much throw a grenade into the middle of that arrangement. It blew up the authority of government agencies. Now Congress has to authorize things explicitly. Every significant regulation, and giving some thought to what that means is going to make it harder for y'all to sleep at night.
Yeah, the fact that Congress will have to authorize every last little thing. Ugh.
Yep.
With regard to climate change, here's what that means. An EPA rule from 2015 says that burning coal is incompatible with the Clean Air Act. Burning coal is just cannot have clean air compatible with the Clean Air Act if you're burning as much coal as we're burning. Coal
Makes
companies.
Sense.
Yeah, yeah. And what the EPA said was coal companies have to do one of two things. They have to either reduce their output or stop burning coal completely and do something else to make electricity. Now, a group like Extinction Rebellion would say this is totally insufficient as a rule. This is like the minimum step that the EPA could have done to say that it was regulating emissions. Not exactly bold action that we need. But on the coal industry side, they just flipped out and they sued. And the suit went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court stopped this coal regulation from going into effect. Now, as we said, this was 2015. Obama was president at that time. Then Trump became president and he orders the EPA to withdraw the regulation, which it did. So this regulation of coal emissions never went into effect. It got stopped by the Supreme Court and then withdrawn under Trump. And under Trump, the EPA does nothing to regulate coal. Under Biden now, the EPA starts preparing new rules on coal, and they are still in the process of making them. These rules have not been made yet.
Doesn't keep the Supreme Court from deciding on them, though.
that's the world we're in. That's just where I was going to go. I mean, we're still at, so at this moment, we have the pre-Obama regulations, which is to say truly minimal regulations on coal, let alone on other fossil fuels. And now the coal industry hears that new regulations are in the works, as you say, at least not finalized, just in the works. They flip out again and they sue to stop them. They don't know what the regulations are. They haven't been written. They haven't even been released in draft form. They don't yet exist. But the coal industry sues to stop them anyway.
Let that sink in, people. The coal industry sues to stop regulations that don't even exist yet, rules that don't even exist yet.
Doesn't matter what the rules are. What matters is the idea that there would ever be rules, the idea that there would ever be regulation. That's the case. That case that the coal industry filed is the one the Supreme Court just decided recently. And the name of the case is West Virginia versus Environmental Protection Agency, because the state of West Virginia joined with the coal industry's petition. But don't be fooled. This originated as a corporate lawsuit. It is a corporate lawsuit. So the Supreme Court essentially says, you're right, coal industry. We don't have to wait and see what the regulation is before we bother to strike it down. We'll go ahead and strike it down preemptively. And by doing that, we have to say that government agencies can't regulate any major stuff. A very broad thing for the Supreme Court to say. No more of this government agencies doing regulations. And yes, that means we get runaway climate change. And that's just fine with us, say six justices on the Supreme Court.
Now, this is not hyperbole on our part. We're not just, you know, exaggerating things here. Check out the first two paragraphs of the dissent from Justice Kagan. And I would call her a moderate centrist who has made it her life's mission to oppose, you know, what the left wants. But she's liberal compared to these arch conservatives. And here's what she had to say. And to make it understandable, if Matt reads it out loud without the citations.
So here are the opening lines of the dissenting opinion authored by Justice Kagan, citations omitted. Quote, climate change's causes and dangers are no longer subject to serious doubt. Modern science is unequivocal that human influence, in particular the emission of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide, has warmed the atmosphere, ocean, and land. The Earth is now warmer than at any time in the history of modern civilization, with the six warmest years on record all occurring in the last decade. The rise in temperatures brings with it increases in heat-related deaths, coastal inundation and erosion, more frequent and intense hurricanes, floods, and other extreme weather events, drought, destruction of ecosystems, and potentially significant disruption of food production. If the current rate of emissions continues, children born this year could live to see parts of the eastern seaboard swallowed by the ocean. Rising waters, scorching heat, and other severe weather conditions could force mass migration events, political crises, civil unrest, and even state failure. And by the end of the century, climate change could be the cause of 4.6 million excess yearly deaths. Congress charged EPA with addressing these potentially catastrophic harms, including through regulation of fossil fuel-fired power plants. Section 111 of the Clean Air Act directs EPA to regulate stationary sources of any substance that causes or contributes significantly to air pollution and that may reasonably be anticipated to endanger public health or welfare. Carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases fit that description. EPA thus serves as the nation's primary regulator of greenhouse gas emissions. And among the most significant of the entities it regulates are fossil fuel-fired power plants. Today, those electricity-producing plants are responsible for about one quarter of the nation's greenhouse gas emissions. Curbing that output is a necessary part of any effective approach for addressing climate change. Unquote.
That's significant that she even mentioned the fossil fuel industry as responsible for so much of those emissions. And so we want to pause and recognize that as well. You know, those first two paragraphs of Justice Kagan's dissent are important for sure. But it is her conclusion that I think we should probably pay more attention to. And she writes this, quote, some years ago, I remarked that we're all textualists now, meaning, of course, we look at the text of, and this is me riffing, you know, justices look at the text of the regulations, they look at, and they try to determine what Congress's intent was.
And intriguingly, Elise, that remark was made, as she notes, at the Antonin Scalia lecture series at Harvard Law School, where she said
yes,
that.
And, you know, Scalia would, you know, touted himself as a textualist. Anyway, I'll go on to read her quote. She says, it seems I was wrong. The current court is textualist only when being so suits it. When that method would frustrate broader goals, special canons like the major questions doctrine magically appear as get out of text free cards. Now, this is something that she noted. The major questions doctrine never mentioned in any previous Supreme Court decision. And so when she says it magically appears, they just made this stuff up as they were going along.
A doctrine, anyway. Nevertheless.
Yep, a doctrine. So that this is something that we are going to see going forward. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. She says again, I'm going to continue to read from her dissent. Today, one of those broader goals makes itself clear. Prevent agencies from doing important work, even though that is what Congress directed. That anti-administrative state stance shows up in the majority opinion and it suffuses the concurrence. And being anti-administrative state, meaning that those agencies that Congress set up to regulate and to address certain issues, because, of course, you know, politicians individually can't really do that. We need actually agencies of experts. This is what she means by anti-administrative state. Anyway, she goes on to say, let's say the obvious. The stakes here are high, yet the court today prevents congressionally authorized agency action to curb power plants' carbon dioxide emissions. The court appoints itself instead of Congress or the expert agency, the decision maker on climate policy. I cannot think of many things more frightening. Respectfully, I dissent, end quote. You are listening to Extinction Rebellion Radio on Pacifica Radio Network, brought to you through WBAI New York. Your hosts are Elise Lane and Matthew Kearney, and we are talking about the terrible Supreme Court decision, West Virginia versus EPA, which is basically going to make it difficult, if not impossible, at least in temporary, you know, just temporarily regulate fossil fuel industries. Now, Justice Kagan can't think of many things more frightening than having the conservative justices she works with appointing themselves as the deciders, to use George Bush's term, as the deciders of climate policy. It is frightening because they don't have the is it frightening, in other words, because they don't have the expertise, that they have a demonstrated misunderstanding of how regulations work? Now, that probably factors into her fear. But I'm going to tell you something. There is something else, and she is not saying it. She is constrained by the institution for which she works, so she's not saying it. What does Justin Kagan see that she does not describe for us? Now, her statement, let's be clear, is an invitation to us to see that which is frightening and to speak it and to act against it. Because the thing that is frightening is the thing we must defeat if we are going to meet the climate crisis. So it is not enough to talk about the decisions and their potential impact, though we certainly have to do that. And that's what's happening, and good for us. But we actually have to ask, what kind of world are these justices taking an active role in helping to create, right? We are watching in slow motion the intentional creation of a jurisprudence designed to make their vision a reality. These justices and the economic and political interests with whom they are aligned are in the process of creating a new society, and they are undoing whatever they think stands in the way or doesn't serve their vision, which is whether it's the administrative state, civil liberties, the right to vote, which is coming up for the Supreme Court, by the way, you name it. What are we going to do about it? Now, Justice Kagan is too moderate to say such a thing as I did, but she's afraid of something. And maybe she's afraid because that's the only rational conclusion she or anyone else can reach. So, of course, she's afraid.
And she, as you said, Elise, she's constrained by the institution in which she operates. She can't call for direct action. She can't call for civil disobedience. She can't call for external pressure on essentially herself. Right. I mean, herself and her colleagues. But we can't. We can read this opinion and attempt to appreciate what's going on and see that the government isn't going to do this for us unless we try to pressure it to, unless we do things outside of the normal governmental process that tries to change the discourse, that tries to change the thought process, that tries to push back on what they're doing to us, which in this case is allowing runaway climate change.
That's right. And they've also created, and this is, I've said this before, that they've created some vulnerability amongst 50% or more of the population, women, in the context of this crisis. So yes, you know, we can ask for, we can say, let's talk about hitting the streets and let's talk about, protesting and things like that. This is where we need to go because, you know, and she's not going to, like Matt said, she's not going to say it and she can't, or maybe she can, but she won't. And that's okay. But the writing is on the wall, and Extinction Rebellion has been saying that for quite some time, that the writing is on the wall and we need to actually address this crisis as the crisis it is.
So what did Extinction Rebellion say about this in its public statements? Here's one from the New York chapter of Extinction Rebellion, quoted in part, quote, "The Supreme Court issued a ruling on West Virginia versus Environmental Protection Agency, siding with corporate energy providers and financial profits rather than the health of humans and the planet. In doing so, it lays the groundwork for tearing down any regulation that impacts the profits of corporations. The court majority sided with West Virginia, arguing the EPA should not be allowed to reshape the economy by limiting pollution, even while the United Nations IPCC reports warns that mass migration, food shortages, heat waves, and droughts will kill millions of people, and plant and animal species will continue to go extinct. This ruling, decided by six unelected individuals on the Supreme Court, will have a monumental impact on the future of the planet and all life on it. Yet the court accepted West Virginia's argument that the EPA is severely limited in its ability to regulate emissions, even though Congress has given the agency the authority to combat air pollution. Given the court's recent assaults on individual rights and its consistent support of economic elites, its alleged fear of government overreach is farcical. The only freedom the justices care about is the freedom to make profits at all costs," unquote.
It'll be interesting to see how Extinction Rebellion changes its strategies in light of these recent decisions by the court and by this clear capture by the fossil fuel industry. You know, Extinction Rebellion has a mandate not to get, or it says it doesn't get involved in politics. It doesn't, you know, take political sides, but increasingly, it seems to me that with some of the decisions that have come out and the things that are happening in Congress, that belief is going to be is increasingly challenged.
Well, partisan electoral politics versus broader political mobilization, these aren't necessarily the same thing. But this is conversation, I guess.
They're not the same thing, but they're not separate either. And so treating these things as if they're not intertwined is being challenged every day, because these conservative justices belong to a particular party, and were put in place by a particular party.
So you used the word capture a moment ago, Elise, and that is exactly the word. I mean, could it be any, could the capture, the regulatory capture, be any more clear? It's hard to imagine how they could possibly be more overt about the capture. I suppose they could possibly be, but you know, it's quite straight up. But I'm sorry to say that it's not as though the Democrats are uncaptured themselves. It's not as though they're fighting hard to do the necessary things with regard to climate change. I mean, this is part of what XR is getting at by Beyond Politics. It's not like we have people in senior political positions who are our allies here. We don't.
Well, I don't know that we don't have them, but they are certainly far outnumbered. And the fact of the matter, I mean, I think Bernie is a free, you know, he's runs under a Democratic ticket. I know he's an independent, but still, he still has run under the Democratic ticket. So I think, you know, we do have some allies, and but we don't have enough, and we certainly don't have fighters. And that's a problem. These folks are, and it comes back to the question of what kind of world are they trying to create? So they're fighting for their world. Even if it's going to be a burning planet world, they're fighting for it. And the question is, are we fighting for our own? Now, XR Boston came out with a statement as well. They said these kinds of government decisions that ignore human well-being and protection of our biosphere can no longer be tolerated. Intentionally delaying or slowing down a rapid transition away from fossil fuels is premeditated mass murder. We risk losing everything. This is why we rebel. That's a nice, strong statement. And so if it is premeditated mass murder, then what is the response to that? What is the powerful response to that?
Rebellion.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, we at Extinction Rebellion, we see the writing on the wall, and we are stepping up to address this kind of intransigence on the part of, or deliberateness really on the part of folks in power to maintain the status quo.
Deliberate non-action by Congress combined with extreme activism, as you put it, at least fighting for the world they want on the part of the courts. It leads to this world that we don't want to live in. We don't want to live in it in terms of, you know, physically, like the climate impact. It's going to be incredibly hot, incredibly flooded, incredibly dry rivers, dry land beds, and inundated coastlines. Physically, we don't want to live in this world, but also politically and in terms of it, the governmental administration, we don't want to live under that government. I think it goes deep what the Supreme Court's doing here. If government agencies can't make major regulations and only Congress can, and Congress is gridlocked and dysfunctional and utterly incapable of acting, then you just don't get regulations. And what is society like with no regulations? Folks can give that some thought. A society without regulations is not a society that I want to live in. And a radical libertarian may think that all that sounds all right. Or a little kid, oh, no rules, that's great, sounds great. But when you see what happens, even adult radical libertarians, when you see what happens, you'll realize all too late that it's not a society that you want to live in either.
Right. And, you know, in California, the air pollution was horrible decades ago. And it's not so bad, especially in L.A. You know, you just see smog. It would just be just layers and layers of smog. Without regulation, the air would not have gotten as clean as it has, given that L.A. is a car culture beyond imagination. So regulations can be good. They can also be terrible, but then we get rid of terrible regulations. But without regulations at all, and with the particular people that we have in power not being regulated, that's the other question. You know, it's not just a matter of regulations, but it's also restraining a particular exercise of power.
This is Extinction Rebellion Radio on Pacifica Radio Network, brought to you through WBAI New York. And Extinction Rebellion Radio is hosted by Ailis Lane and Matthew Kearney. We're talking about the recent Supreme Court decision, West Virginia versus EPA, and how it guts the ability to regulate emissions, even minimally, within our system, and seems to attack government agency regulations in general. Yeah, what are some of the other government agencies that are being indirectly impacted by this? Of course, the EPA is the target here, and of course, it's appropriate that we talk mainly about the climate impacts. But Centers for Disease Control, that's a government agency that has regulatory authority that's being undercut, if not eviscerated, with this agenda from the six justices on the Supreme Court. The OSHA, Occupational Health and Safety Administration, the folks who have employment regulations, are those employment regulations going to stay in place? I mean, we could spend the rest of the day naming them. Things that are just foundational to life in the United States as we know them. These are the things that are coming under attack right now.
That's right. That's right.
We should mention we've quoted Kagan. She is the lead author of that dissenting opinion. Justice Sotomayor joined it. And in what might be his last opinion, I think it is his very last act as a Supreme Court justice, Justice Breyer joined it as well. The very later that day, Justice Jackson officially became the first Black woman member of the Supreme Court with Breyer's resignation coming into effect. So last act from Breyer to join this dissent authored by Kagan.
What a court to step into for Justice Jackson. We'll see what she does.
This has been Extinction Rebellion Radio.
WBAI's next report to the listener is scheduled for Tuesday, July 12th from 10 p.m. to midnight. Join me, Linda Perry, WBAI's program director, along with Bertol Reimers, WBAI's general manager, for this month's report to the listener. That's Tuesday at 10 p.m., July 12th, right here on Pacifica Radio, WBAI New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org.
WBAI's local station board, the Pacifica Foundation Board responsible for advising local management and operations, is meeting Wednesday, July 13th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held on Zoom, and you can join the meeting by phone or on your computer. There will be an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar and on the WBAI website. You can also get into the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. 929-205-6099 and enter this meeting ID. 922.457.2995. 922.457.2995. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So, it's 995.995.99. We hope you'll attend the WBAI LSB meeting. Again, it's on Wednesday, July 13th at 7 p.m. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No. But we hope you do by calling our pledge line at 212-209-2950 or contributing what you can by going to our website, WBAI.org.
This program was Extinction Rebellion Radio, heard Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. right after the WBAI Evening News. Stay tuned for We Only Want the World with Sansara Taylor. That's coming up, but I have an announcement to share with the listening audience. Now, that shutdown that was supposed to happen due to maintenance on the transmitter starting July 13th through July 16th between the hours of 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. has been postponed until August. So, all that stuff we were talking about, no air and WBAI is won't be on the air during that period of time, and saying that don't worry. Well, no worries about the worries, because it's not happening until August. So I guess a sigh of relief for everyone. And if you appreciate that sigh of relief, yet again, more the reason why you should donate to this radio station. 212-209-2950, or go to give to WBAI.org online. You know, I've said that before many of times, and no need to repeat that. But the one thing I would